Well, thanks, Marcus, for reading for us. My name is Michael. I'm one of the pastors of this church, and I'm going to be speaking from that passage that was just read. The sermon today is on our help in times of fear. It's about how Jesus helps and addresses our fears and anxieties. We're going to get into it, so please join with me as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you say to us in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Thank you that you are our loving Father, that you want to hear what makes us anxious, you want to hear our fears, and thank you that you listen to us without condemnation or judgment. Lord, we pray that this part of your word will help us to be truly courageous as we put our trust in Jesus. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I don't think most of us would describe ourselves as fearful people. We do not spend most of our lives caught up in worry. Whenever people ask us the question, how are you? Most of us would probably be able to answer, yeah, I'm good. And we'd be able to mean it, more or less. Fear is not a huge part of our lives. Fear is more what you get in horror movies or roller coasters or Halloween. You know, it's not really us. And yet there are times, though, when it becomes clear that deep down we do fear. That there is a lot going on behind the brave face. Do you ever wonder, for example, whether the reason that we do not fear is not because we're brave, but because we're sheltered? You know, if not, I want you to wonder that now. You know, we have so many things in our culture that protect us from all sorts of harm that other people do not have. We have insurance policies. We have technology. We have well-built dwellings with sturdy locks. We have a fairly functional law enforcement and justice system. If all of that were taken away, would we still be as fearless as we claim to be now? You know, the absence of danger doesn't make you courageous. Anyone can look brave when there isn't any danger. If you take away all of our insurances, all of our securities, all of our insulations, maybe we would see how fearful we truly are behind the brave face. And then there are times when things come up that no amount of protection can prepare us for. We saw our world's response to the COVID pandemic, especially when no one knew how dangerous it was. Now, at the very beginning, weren't you just that little bit scared that you might catch COVID and suffer hideously? You know, and it's not just COVID. Before COVID, there was terrorism. And now after COVID, people are talking about the existence of aliens and UFOs as well. We are all fearful in one way or another. A lot of what we do is driven by fear. We send our kids to good schools because we are afraid they will get corrupted. We study hard and we work long hours because we're afraid of failure or financial ruin. We go after things that are respected in our society. We go after money, property, sometimes even marriage, because we are afraid of looking like a loser in the eyes of others. We fear all sorts of things. The problem is, though, is that if we're only fearless because we're sheltered, if we've spent our lives building cushions around ourselves rather than building courage, we will be unprepared for when real trouble comes. And this is where the wisdom of God comes in. In this passage today, we see Jesus in the middle of a fearful situation and how he gives us help in times of fear. And this is a help that Jesus brings that does not go up and down with our fortunes in the world. It is a courage that can stay with us whether we are vulnerable or invulnerable, whether we have a lot or a little. Our passage starts today with the disciples, the followers of Jesus, in a fearful situation, and we see that in verses 22 to 24. One day he got into a boat with his disciples, that's Jesus, and he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." So they set out, and as they sailed, he fell asleep. and a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in danger. And they went and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. Now, the lake that the Bible talks about here is more than just a little puddle of water. This is the Sea of Galilee. It's about 13 kilometres wide. That's about the distance from Chatswood to Hornsby. Okay, so it's not a small body of water. It was surrounded by hills, which meant that winds could come down quickly into the area and storms could arise rapidly and without warning. That's what probably happened here. The storm came in faster than Jesus' disciples could react. And remember that a lot of Jesus' disciples were trained fishermen. You know, they had been on these waters before. They knew the terrain. I'm not sure that how they would stack up against the fishermen of our church. You know, it might be a pretty equal race, I think. But still, these fishermen found themselves in a situation that no amount of training or experience could prepare them for. They were, pardon the pun, completely out of their depth. And notice their response to this situation. These trained fishermen, these experts of the Sea of Galilee, they panic. Master, Master, we are perishing. They're basically saying, look, we're all going to die. They lose all professionalism, calm, and control. Is that what you're like when you reach the end of your talents, your training, your experience, when you just can't handle anymore? Have you ever done something like this? Have you ever lost it completely? Maybe perhaps in a fit of anger or tears or hysteria. What were you scared of losing that caused it? Now, I think this is all of us, really. You know, we all have a limit to what we can handle. We all lose control when we stand to lose something that is dear to us. Like the disciples, we all find ourselves in fearful situations. But I want you to notice from this passage how different the disciples' reaction to this is compared to Jesus' reaction. There is a storm raging around this little boat. The boat is filling with water. It looks like this is it for everyone on board. The disciples are panicking. We are all going to die. And what's Jesus doing? Verse 23. And as they sailed, he fell asleep. Jesus has to be woken up by his disciples. And I don't think this is because Jesus is a very deep sleeper, right? I don't think he's the kind of guy that would sleep through a thunderstorm. It's because Jesus is so confident in his power. Jesus does not fear the storm because he is greater than the storm. And we see this power at work when he casually, almost offhandedly, just tells the raging storm to stop. And it does. Verses 24 to 25, it says, and he went, awoke and rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And then verse 25, he said to them, where is your faith? See, what we're seeing here is that the power at work in Jesus is the power of God. Who can command the winds and the water and they obey him? Only God can. Australia and England just this week finished playing their Ashes test. We kept the Ashes, you'll be glad to know, though not without controversy. In one of the games, England were ahead. They were probably going to win, but it was forecast to rain for the final days of the game. And if it did rain, then Australia and England would draw the game instead of England winning. Numerous newspapers and podcasts and radio programs were calling upon Australians to pray for rain so that England would not win and we would draw the match. In the end, the match was rained out, so if you did pray for that, then God did answer your prayer, I guess. But notice, though, that no one was asking anyone to make it rain. They were only asking people to pray for rain. And there's a rightness to that, isn't there? Because we can't do that. Humans can't do that. No one can change the weather just by speaking. The best thing that we can do is just ask the person who can. And notice that here in our passage today, Jesus isn't asking God to stop the wind and the waves. He's not praying for it to stop. He is doing it himself. Jesus here isn't praying to God. He is showing that he is God. And this is something that the disciples should have realized. This is the reason why they should not have feared. And this is the reason why Jesus rebukes them for their lack of faith. It's a bit hard to know what Jesus thought the disciples should have done. I mean, you know, after all, didn't the disciples do the right thing in asking Jesus for help? You kind of think to yourself, look, should they have just calmly accepted their fate and died like some strange sect of monks? Should they maybe not have asked Jesus? Well, the Bible doesn't say here, but my best guess would be that Jesus expected his disciples to not panic, to not fear, but to still call on him for help, but to call on him trustingly, to call on him calmly, to not call on him desperately. Because even though to the disciples it looked like they were perishing, they weren't perishing. They were with Jesus. And of course, that's the ideal, right? That's what God is calling us to do in our lives when we face our fear of various things in God's world. But I think the other thing that this passage of the Bible does is it presents us with a truly realistic picture of discipleship, you know, what it means to follow Jesus. Now, we don't always do it right, just like the disciples. We do fear. We do lose it. We get desperate or angry or hysterical in our fear. We don't come to Jesus perfect. But like with the disciples and Jesus, Jesus is so gracious and kind that he answers us. He protects us, even when we don't come to him right. Discipleship is always a mixed picture. And I think this is one of the great things about reading the Bible, is that the Bible is very honest about following Jesus. The followers of Jesus do not always get things right. They're not presented as people who have it all together. Very unlike our airbrushed public relations statements kind of world, the Bible is realistic. We are not in control. But we do know the one who is, because we have seen the power of Jesus. But notice as well that in that last verse of our passage, the disciples don't actually stop being afraid. Verse 25, it says, "And they were afraid, and they marveled, saying to one another, 'Who then is this, that he commands even winds and water, and they obey him?'" Being a Christian, following Jesus, is not about fearing nothing. Right? Being a Christian is not about fearlessness. It is about replacing your fear of the world with a fear of Jesus. That's what these disciples do when they see the power of Jesus. They recognize that there is something in him, and they have a fear of him. But the fear of Jesus is not the same kind of fear, though, as the fear of the world. You know, we fear the world. We fear things and people in the world because they are afraid that they will hurt us or take things from us. But fear of Jesus isn't like that. Jesus doesn't hurt us or take things from us. We know Jesus loves us. Jesus will not judge or condemn or punish us. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love." And so we don't have that kind of fear when it comes to Jesus. But to fear someone can also mean to respect someone. Fear someone can mean to be in awe of someone, to even just care what they think about you. Now, for me, you know, I do feel this kind of fear, this kind of awe, this kind of respect when I meet someone famous or important. If I'm going to Hornsby Council and I have to pray and I've got to meet the mayor, if I'm meeting a local MP to talk to them about religious issues, or even just when I see police officers at the train station or at the shops, you know, there's that little kind of check that I have in my head where I suddenly care a little bit more about how they see me. I suddenly watch a little bit closer how I'm behaving. And that's what we're called to have with Jesus, to not treat him casually, but to have that awe, that respect, that fear of him. Jen and I were talking about the TV series Breaking Bad. It's a very American series. A chemistry teacher gets cancer. He can't pay his medical bills, so he starts making and dealing drugs, naturally, to pay his bills and support his family. Jen asked me the question, if I ever was making drugs, would you report me to the police? And I had to think about this for a little bit, and then I said, I absolutely would report her to the police. And she was aghast. She was shocked, but I had to say to her, I fear Jesus more than you. I then asked her, well, what about if I was making drugs, would you report me? And she said, yeah, I guess, right? Now, we are not making drugs, you'll be happy to know. You'll have to get them from someone else. But being a Christian is having that fear of Jesus over and above the fear of the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 to 10, it says about Jesus, so we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good and evil. It's a good summary of what's going on in our Luke passage, of being of good courage in the world and yet still fearing Jesus. Knowing that Jesus will come to judge, but not despairing at it, instead respecting Jesus and making it our aim to please him. You know, anyone can be courageous. Anyone can be fearless. The truth is probably, though, that everyone fears something. Everyone worships something. Everyone values something. What makes a Christian different is not that they are fearless, but that they fear Jesus. And because they fear Jesus, they do not fear the world. And so bringing all that together, what does that all mean for us in Sydney 2023? Well, a few things. First thing is that we have help in times of fear. We have someone we can call on. The disciples were able to wake Jesus from his sleep to help them. Now, do you think that you would be able to wake up anyone in power in this world to help you with your problems? Now, can you imagine kind of calling up on the phone and saying, Mr. Albanese, you know, sorry to wake you up, sorry to bother you at this late an hour, but there's this thing that's going on in my life. Brothers and sisters, we can call on Jesus anytime. We can wake up the person who can wake up Anthony Albanese. And so when you're afraid, when you are losing control, or when you're losing respect, or when you're losing things because they're not turning out the way that you wanted, make your first port of call praying to Jesus, asking for his help. And do not be surprised if he answers and helps you. We have someone we can call on. We have help in times of fear. At the same time, though, we've got to be aware that trusting in Jesus is not Jesus covering us in a huge layer of bubble wrap all around us, right? Once you believe in Jesus, that's not a guarantee of deliverance from all kinds of trouble. Jesus will let us go out into the world. We are going to take our hits. We are going to feel the pain of the world because that's what teaches us to trust him. And what Jesus promises is not deliverance from trouble, but deliverance through trouble. Now, we see that with the disciples. The disciples had to go through the storm. They faced the storm and they feared. But what Jesus gives is that he promises an end to all trouble for those who trust in him. And Christians, we hold on to this promise of deliverance through. This is our hope, because this is the path that Jesus walked for us as well. Jesus walked through shame, suffering, pain, and death to a new resurrection life. Jesus promises not deliverance from, a deliverance through. So what do you fear? Do you fear financial ruin? Do you fear the shame and disgrace of the world? Do you fear your family, your children not turning out right? Whatever it is that you fear, and I think it is the pressures and stresses of our lives that reveal what we fear, can I encourage you to replace your fear of the world with a fear of Jesus? You know, if Jesus is greater than the storm, if he is greater than the wind and the waves, then he is also greater than the Australian economic system. He is also greater than any social group that we may want acceptance with. Jesus is greater than our lives. And so we can take our fears to him, ask him for help, and we can trust that he will deliver us from them. And there are some people who believe that these kinds of stories never happened, kind of Jesus calming the storm, doing miracles. They believe these kinds of things because they'll say that miracles don't happen. That is a circular argument, by the way, if I ever saw one. You know, people say, oh, miracles happen because God doesn't exist. God doesn't exist because miracles don't happen. But if God does exist, if Jesus really did walk the earth, and there is good reason to believe that he did, there is no reputable historian who does not believe in a historical Jesus. If Jesus actually did these things, well, then it makes sense that, you know, if there is a God, then the one who made and rules the earth would be able to do miracles and control it. You know, the one who sets the rules can alter the rules. So it pays to be a little bit open-minded about these things. But also, if you don't believe that miracles can happen, you're also missing out on the help that Jesus can bring to you. Because if this actually did happen, then we don't need to go through our whole lives desperately, fearfully bubble wrapping ourselves all the time, worrying about what's around the next corner. We don't need to be so defensive and anxious that we spend all our lives building up safe walls and hedges for ourselves that we can't help other people who are outside those walls. We can trust and we can be courageous because we know the one who rules this world. We know that he is for us. We know that we can call on him. And we know that he will deliver us. He is our help in times of fear. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for his words and deeds. Thank you that he showed, by the calming of the storm, his power, but also his love. Thank you, Lord, that we have a help when we are fearful. Thank you that as followers of Jesus and as people who are united with Christ, that we can call upon him. And thank you that he does love us and that he does care for us and that he's able to use his power for our good. Heavenly Father, we pray that we may not be people where people have to ask us the question, where is your faith? Please help us to give our lives to Jesus. Please help us to trust our circumstances to him, to call on him in times of fear. And Lord, we pray that we may know his love and his power in delivering us through those times. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.